Well, again, welcome. So glad that you are here this morning. In our series of Jesus' I Am statements this morning, our focus is on Jesus' declaration of I am the Good Shepherd. This is, once again, a statement that Jesus gives identifying who he is, and not only that, but how we are to live in relationship to him. As God and I Am and Yahweh, Jesus is a shepherd. Throughout Scripture, the relationship we have with God is often described as a relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. God being the shepherd, we being the sheep. This is certainly true because I told you last week there is one animal more than any other in all of Scripture that we are compared to, and that is the sheep. And the reason we are compared to a sheep is because a sheep by nature needs to be cared for. A sheep needs to be guided. A sheep needs to be provided for. A sheep needs to be protected. Sheep have really no defense system at all. They are very vulnerable to the predators that are out there. Sheep are not fast. They don't have sharp claws. They don't even have sharp teeth. They can't spray anything smelly. They are defenseless when a predator comes up against them. And so the best way for a sheep to be cared for and guided and protected is through a shepherd. And that is the way that God describes, more often than not, the relationship we have with him. He is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. We are sheep that need to be guided. We are the sheep that need to be protected. We are the sheep that need to be cared for. We are the sheep that need a shepherd and his loving, caring hand. So, for example, Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Psalm 23, verses 1 through 2, which is probably the most famous psalm in all of Scripture, says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And then just two verses later in Psalm 23:4, it says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod and a staff were the instruments of a shepherd. Yahweh is our shepherd who looks after us, who leads us to eat in green pastures and to drink from still, quiet waters. It is Yahweh whose rod and staff comfort us through troubling times, through difficult times, through moments when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God, as our shepherd, has a heart for us, his sheep. And he seeks the very best for us. He provides for us, and he cares for us, and he protects us, and he corrects us when we need to be corrected. So when we move to the New Testament, Jesus, not surprisingly, identifying himself as God, takes on this very role of being the Good Shepherd. Jesus declares about himself here in John chapter 10, where he says, "I am the good shepherd." He is saying, "I am Yahweh, the good shepherd, the one that you read about in the Old Testament. That is me. That is who I am." And so let's look this morning at Jesus' declaration of himself as the good shepherd. Jesus' declaration of "I am the good shepherd." Twice in John chapter 10, Jesus declares, "I am the good shepherd." The first time he does this is in John chapter 10, verse 11, where he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep," so that we know that it was not a mistake and that we didn't mishear him, or so that we know that he didn't misspeak. He says it again in John chapter 10, verse 14. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says, "and I know my own, and my own know me." Jesus' words here of being the good shepherd, when you think about it, really are astonishing. They're astonishing because not only is Jesus once again very clearly, very definitively telling us that he is God, that he is Yahweh, that he is the good shepherd who wants to care for us, who wants to meet our needs, who wants to provide for us, but it's astonishing because of the way that Jesus says he desires to be in a relationship with us. He desires to be in a personal, intimate, affectionate, loving relationship with us like a good shepherd does with his sheep. A good shepherd has a loving, caring, firsthand relationship with his sheep. So even more so does Jesus, as the good shepherd, want to have a loving, affectionate, intimate, personal relationship with us, his sheep. And so what this passage in John 10 that we're about to look at does for us, John 10 verses 11 through 18 that we're going to focus on this morning, not only does Jesus identify himself as the good shepherd, but he also explains to us why he is the good shepherd and how, because he is the good shepherd, he wants to rightly relate to us and wants us to rightly relate to him. So that's where we'll spend our time together this morning, is just looking at why Jesus is the good shepherd and how that means for us, or what that means for us, and how we are to rightly relate to him as the good shepherd. So the first reason we are told why Jesus is the good shepherd is that Jesus is the good shepherd because he laid down his life to protect the sheep. Jesus very clearly in verses 11 through 13 here in John 10 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Verse 12 then says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep." And so Jesus compares himself to a hired hand, someone who has been hired to temporarily watch the sheep. And Jesus says a hired hand who has been temporarily, or who is being temporarily paid to watch the sheep, doesn't have the same perspective, or he doesn't have the same buy-in, he doesn't have the same investment to the sheep that the shepherd does. So that if a hired hand is watching the sheep, or while watching the sheep, he sees a pack of wolves descending upon the sheep to attack them, the hired hand, Jesus says, is going to flee. He's going to run. He's not going to lay down his life to protect the sheep, because in the hired hand's mind, it's not worth it. These are just a few stinky, smelly, dumb sheep. Why would I lay down my life for them? I don't know them very well. I certainly am not invested in them. If the shepherd wants to lay down his life, that's his business, but I'm not getting paid near enough to lay my life down for these sheep. And so he's going to flee. The hired hand is. He's going to run. But as the good shepherd, Jesus says he is not like that. He is not like a hired hand. As the good shepherd, Jesus loves and he cares for his sheep. They belong to him. He owns them. And because he is the good shepherd, he's willing to lay down his life to protect the sheep from whatever predator wants to harm them, from whatever predator wants to devour them. As a matter of fact, four times in this passage from John chapter 10, verse 11 to 18, Jesus says that he lays down his life for the sheep. He says it here in verse 11 that we just read. And then he says it again in verses 15, in verses 17, and in verses 18. Four different times, Jesus, as the good shepherd says, when he sees the wolf coming, when he sees the predator coming, he will not leave the sheep to be destroyed. He will protect the sheep. He will lay down his life to fight off whatever predator wants to devour the sheep. So, what are the wolves that want to devour us? What are the predators that are out there that want to destroy us and keep us from the life that God has for us? Well, I've listed three. This is not an exhaustive list by any means, but I've listed three on your outline. Three predators that Jesus certainly saw coming and laid down his very life so that we might, as his sheep, be protected from these predators. The first one is the predator of sin. Jesus died to protect his sheep from the predator of sin. Sin is a dangerous predator. Sin is a predator that wants to destroy. Sin is a predator that wants to kill us. Sin is a predator that wants to keep us from God. Jesus came in the world as the good shepherd to take away the sin of the world, to draw sin, if you will, off of us and draw it onto himself. This is why John 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that's exactly what Jesus does. He takes away the sin of the world. It's why in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree," or on the cross, "so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed." As the good shepherd, Jesus sacrifices himself in the place of his sheep, takes the predator of sin upon himself so that we don't have to. The second predator that Jesus lays down his life to protect us from is the predator of death. Jesus died to protect his sheep from the predator of death. Death is a predator that always accompanies sin. Wherever sin is, death is right alongside of it. As a matter of fact, sin is the whole reason why death is in the world. And to protect us from the predator of death, or really more specifically, from the predator of spiritual death, separation from God, not having eternal life in Christ, not having the abundance of life that Jesus came to give us, Jesus said, "I will lay down my life to protect you from death." In John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins." And we certainly will. Every single one of us are going to die in our sin unless, Jesus says, you believe that I am. And the word "he" actually isn't even in the Greek. That is just added in, but the original reading of the Greek just simply says, "Igomai," or "egomai," "I am." This is another place where Jesus says simply, "I am." It says, "For unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." And so one of the things that Jesus came to guard us of, to protect us from, is this death that is a result of our sin. He says in John chapter 11, verse 26, "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." So even though there's a physical death, Jesus says, if you are going to believe in me, if you are going to take me as your good shepherd, as the good shepherd, then you will not really even experience death, because it will be an instantaneous moment that you move out of this life and into the abundant eternal life that God has for all who are in Christ. Romans 6:23, familiar verse to many of you, "For the wages of sin is death," but that's a but that you want to circle in your Bible, because that means there's something significant that takes away the wages of sin. And it is the free gift of God, which is eternal life, where? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is through the Good Shepherd laying down his life that we are protected from the predator of death. And then the third predator that Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, laid down his life to protect us from is the predator of judgment and condemnation. Jesus died to protect his sheep from judgment and condemnation. Judgment and condemnation is the third predator that always accompanies sin and death. So this is a little pack of wolves, right? You have sin, you have death, and along with sin and death, there is going to be judgment and there is going to be condemnation. As a result of sin, we all stand to die. And then Hebrews 9:27, I didn't reference it on your outline, but Hebrews 9:27 says this, is appointed for all men to die once, and then comes judgment. Physical death does not just usher us into nothingness. The Bible is very clear that there is an afterlife, that there is an absolute afterlife for every single one of us. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come forth either to a resurrection of life or to a resurrection of judgment. Because we are all sinners, we all stand to be judged and condemned as guilty. And as we stand before the God of the universe and give an account of our lives, we will all be found guilty of moral failure and a failure to glorify God as he deserves. Unless there is a good shepherd who's willing to take our place and deliver us out from under this death and this judgment and this condemnation. And that good shepherd is Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death and into life. This is one of the best news verses in all the Bible. This is one of those verses, again, if you don't have it underlined or you don't have it highlighted in your Bible, I would highly suggest you do so. This is one of the great news verses in all the Bible, saying that through faith, through trust, through belief in Jesus, rather than passing from death into judgment, we will be removed from judgment and we will pass from death into life, eternal life, in the presence of God, enjoying his pleasures forever and ever. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we are told this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The predator of judgment and condemnation are defeated by Jesus, so that they are no longer a threat to us, his sheep, who belong to him through a saving faith relationship. This is why Jesus is the good shepherd. He's fought the wolves of sin, of death, of judgment, and condemnation, and he has defeated them so that they cannot destroy his sheep. So if you are a part of his flock, if you are one of his sheep who have trusted Christ, put his or her faith, put your faith in Christ for your salvation, surrendered your life to him, then you can rest easy and be filled with a peace and a security of knowing that sin, death, judgment, and condemnation, they no longer pose a threat to you whatsoever. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has forever protected you from those predators. Amen? That is good news. For those who are in Christ, that is great news. For those who aren't in Christ, that is what you stand to be in danger and devoured of: death or sin, death, judgment, and condemnation. And it's only through the Good Shepherd that you will be delivered, protected from those predators. Jesus is not only the Good Shepherd because he lays down his life for his sheep, but two, Jesus is the Good Shepherd because he knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. We are told by Jesus here in John chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, "I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." This is another astonishing truth that Jesus is revealing to us here in these two verses. The kind of relationship Jesus has with his sheep is the kind of relationship that Jesus says he has with the Father. There is no deeper, no more intimate, no more satisfying, no closer relationship than the relationship that Jesus, the Son, has with the Father. This means that the kind of relationship that Jesus has with his sheep is a deep, deep, intimate, abiding, satisfying relationship. When Jesus says in verse 14, "I know my own and my own know me," the word "know" there that is in the English, or that is rendered in English "know," is the Greek word ginosko. And it means to know through personal, firsthand experience. So I put on your outline, to know means to know intimately and have a loving and affectionate relationship with. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus has an intimate, loving, affectionate relationship with his sheep. He knows all there is to know about every single one of his sheep. He knows our names. He knows our personalities. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. He knows, Scripture says, the very number of hairs on your head. There is nothing that Jesus does not know about you. He knows you intimately. He knows you firsthand. He is not a God who is disinterested, merely sitting on his throne, running the universe from afar. As the Good Shepherd, he is intimately involved, knowing his sheep. King David was a shepherd himself. And King David knows what it means to be a shepherd. And he gives a great description of God as the Good Shepherd in Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 through 3. When he says this, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path, and my lying down are intimately acquainted with all my ways." He says, "You are intimately acquainted with all of my ways." I love that. Saying that as the Good Shepherd, God is intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Everything that I do, God knows about it. He is involved in it. That is not the description of a God who is disinterested. That is the description of the Good Shepherd who is very much involved in the life of his sheep. And in return, not only does Jesus know his sheep, but his sheep know him, and they follow him. This is what Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 4. It's what he tells us in John chapter 10, verse 27. In John 10, 4, Jesus says, "When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." And then in John 10, 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Saying that Jesus is in such a relationship, an intimate, affectionate, loving relationship with his sheep, that when he speaks, we are able to discern his voice. From all of the noise, from all of the chatter, from all of the multiple hundreds of thousands of voices in the world that is wanting to get our attention, wanting to speak into our hearts and our minds and get us to follow them, Jesus says, my sheep will be able to discern out of all of those voices my voice, and they will follow me. You know, I'm oftentimes asked, what is the best way, or how do I know that Jesus is speaking to me? How do I learn to discern Jesus' voice from all the other noises that are clamoring for my attention, that are clamoring for my affection? And I think the best way to discern the voice of Jesus is through getting to know Jesus intimately and personally through his word. Jesus' word is his divinely inspired letter to us. And reading and studying God's word is so important, memorizing God's word, not just simply to read it, not just simply to study it, not just simply to memorize it, but it's important because it is through his word that we are deepening our relationship with him, and that we will be able to better hear him, listen to him, and discern his voice. Those who know God's word best will hear God's voice the clearest. I didn't put that on your outline. I probably should have, but it's worth writing down somewhere if you're taking notes. Those who hear, or those who know God's word the best, are going to hear God's voice the clearest. Because this is going to be where God primarily speaks to you more clearly, more fully than in any other way. And so when people tell me, well, I'm having a hard time listening to God or hearing what God is wanting to say to me, my first thought, my first question is, how much time are you spending in his word? Because you're not going to be able to rightly discern his voice apart from saturating yourself with his truth. But the more you saturate yourself, let his word wash over you, fill you, the more you are going to be able to clearly hear him. And then once you are hearing him, it is important that you follow him, that you listen to him, that you obey him, that you do what he tells you to do and you don't do what he tells you not to do. This is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they what? Follow me. If you're not following Jesus, then that's evident that you are not one of his sheep, because he very clearly says here in verse 17, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Following Jesus is evident that we belong to him, that he is the good shepherd by which we are a member of his flock. A third reason Jesus is the good shepherd is Jesus is the good shepherd because he gathers his flock from all over the world and unites them together as one. Verse 16 here in John 10, Jesus says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. This is a verse of great news because Jesus is saying that salvation is not just for the Jews. Jesus is saying that salvation is for the Gentile or for the non-Jew as well. So if you are here this morning and you're listening to my voice, or you're at home listening to my voice and you are in the flock, you are of the sheep that belong to Jesus because you've put your faith and your trust in him, that means that you are the ones that Jesus is speaking about in this verse when he says he gathers his flock from all over the world and he unites them together as one. That means that Jesus is taking people from every race, every color, every creed, every nation, every tongue, and he's bringing them and uniting them together under his lordship or under his shepherdship, if that is a word. I might have just made that up. And he's uniting us together as one. And the unity of his flock, the way we love each other, the way we encourage each other, the way we support each other, the way we minister to one another, the way we care for one another as sheep in his flock is a testimony to the rest of the world about who Jesus is as the good shepherd. So that I put on your outline, the unity of the flock is a testimony to the world that Jesus is the good shepherd. Because we testify to the truth that Jesus is gathering a flock of sheep from all over the world and uniting us together in the bond of salvation so that we are one flock. This is exactly what Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23, when he prays, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's us. Those who have come to believe through the word of the apostles, through the word of scripture that Jesus led the apostles to record. He says that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. So how's the world going to believe that Jesus is the good shepherd who has been sent to save us from the predators of sin and death and judgment and condemnation? It's going to be when the world sees the salvation that has come to us as we are united together as a believing body called the flock or the sheep who belong to the good shepherd. And the fourth reason Jesus is the good shepherd is Jesus is the good shepherd because he did not stay dead. He didn't stay dead. John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, Jesus says, for this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And so Jesus, on his own doing, laid down his life to protect his sheep. And then he also had the authority to defeat death and to rise again. If Jesus had just laid down his life fighting to protect his sheep and died and then stayed dead, then his sheep would be without a shepherd. And a flock of shepherdless sheep is a problem. They will eventually be harmed by other predators that will come along and find their way to them. Jesus, as the good shepherd, did not stay dead. Jesus came with a mission that was authorized by the Father, a mission to die, to protect his sheep by defeating the predators that are a danger. But his mission was not only to die, but to defeat death and to rise again. And this is exactly what he did. After he died, his body laid among the dead in a tomb for 3 days. But he was given authority to take back his life again, and he did. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And when he defeated death and he rose from the dead, this was the moment of triumph that declared with 100% certainty that sin, death, judgment, and condemnation had all lost. And they were all soundly defeated. They would not be able to destroy the sheep that belong to Jesus, the good shepherd. Jesus' triumph over death means that his sheep will always have a shepherd. As his sheep, we will always have a living shepherd to guide us, to direct us, to care for us, to provide for us. Jesus will forever be our good shepherd. And what is more, not only will he forever be our good shepherd, but scripture also describes Jesus as forever, not only our good shepherd, but also as the great shepherd and as the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace who brought us from the dead, the great shepherd who brought up from the dead, the great shepherd, that is Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4, it says, when the chief shepherd appears, the chief shepherd is Jesus. And then Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 tells us, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. Jesus will forever be our shepherd. He is more than a shepherd. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And so much more. But he will always be a shepherd. He will never stop being the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And the reason he will always be our shepherd, even throughout eternity, is because we will always be sheep who need a shepherd. No matter how glorious our eternity will be in heaven, and even in a perfect heaven, where there is no sin, where there is no death, where there is no judgment, where there is no condemnation, we will never outgrow our need for a shepherd. We will always be sheep. Again, we will be so much more than sheep. We will be the children of God. But we will always still be sheep who need a shepherd. And Jesus will forever be our good, great, and chief shepherd and guardian of our souls. Amen. That is the good news that God has given to us this morning from his word, is that Jesus is the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. My prayer is that if you don't know Jesus as the good shepherd, today might be the day that you give your life to Christ. For those of us who know Jesus as the good shepherd and we are in his flock, we are one of his sheep, my prayer is that our witness will be such that the rest of the world will see the way we live, the way we love, the way we do life, and they will be drawn to the good shepherd as a testimony of how the sheep of the good shepherd live their lives. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray that you would help us as your sheep be living, breathing testimonies every single day, every single moment of what it means to have Jesus as the good shepherd of our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be unified as a body of believers in how we live and how we love and the purpose that we are here for. I pray that we would know, Father, that we are on mission to live our lives as sheep testifying of Jesus, the good shepherd. And that in everything we do, our lives would point to the saving grace that has come upon us, saving us from sin, from death, from judgment, from condemnation, all because the good shepherd laid down his life and then took it back up again to live and reign forevermore. And we will give you all the praise and glory for what you do and accomplish. And we'll do it in Jesus' name. Amen.